Welcome to American Education FM, everybody. I'm Dr. Sean Brooks.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. I'm just going to jump right in here. Much to discuss, much to cover here. First of all, I think it's pretty clear that government is our enemy. I think it's pretty clear that even the asleep are starting to wake up to this fact, that they've always been our enemy, government, that is. And this is not improving. This is getting worse. That even, again, with the hurricane, that has recently occurred, and the flooding and the damage and the death, that it's becoming just very glaring that, of course, America is not prepared for chaos. We certainly are not, individually or collectively, but that government, of course, is always in a ever-present cycle of attempting to kill us. Again, this should be painfully obvious to people at this point. I have plenty of audio to play and things to read regarding the hurricane, of course, but here's where I want to start. And first of all, let me apologize for the sound of my voice and me clearing my throat. I'm going to be sucking on a lozenge this entire time, multiple lozenges, as a matter of fact. This cough isn't going away, and it's just remarkably dry. I've vomited a couple of times from coughing so much, it sucks. Anyway, with that aside, here's where I want to begin here. A couple of years ago on Rumble, a guy's channel showed up, and it was called Magic Eyes Only, with the word only and the O in the only being a Q. This individual had four presentations, which I watched in their entirety. There were multiple hours each. Again, going through Q posts, mirroring Q posts, focusing on numerology, a number of other things. Again, you can take a great deal of it, of course, with a grain of salt, but there are very specific things happening now, and things that have been happening, that are pointing to this being very, very real. What is also interesting about his first four presentations from a couple of years ago is that he was the first person to basically use and reference the Law of War Manual, Law of War Manual, and combine the Law of War Manual and correlate it with Q posts to give individuals, again, directions as to what's going on and what's likely to occur. That was, again, a couple of years ago, and no one had really spent any time, zero as a matter of fact, on the Law of War Manual, even while the Q posts were being made and people were analyzing them and looking into them. No one thought, maybe we should look into the Law of War Manual and see if there are things that correspond here. But again, he was one of the first individuals, if not the first individual, to sort of hone in on the Law of War Manual. You can download the Law of War Manual, by the way, on PDF, if I'm not mistaken, for free. You can also purchase it on Amazon. It's two volumes. It's remarkably thick, but there's a great deal of valuable information in there. Just the other day, this same individual created two more videos. And I watched them in their entirety. And there are a number of summary points that I wanted to mention here on the show of things that are, you know, may occur. And again, this is food for thought. I fully understand that some of this is date fagging, but at the exact same time, this is something that people should prepare for if it does happen. Now, if it doesn't, well, so be it. But either way, again, in my opinion, this is something that people should focus in on. First of all, we know that Election Day, quote unquote, is November 5th. Remember the 5th of November, of course, it's also Guy Fawkes Day, and of course the movie that's constantly been referenced regarding everything that we've been experiencing over the last any number of years is V for Vendetta, and he, of course, early on in his earlier videos honed in on that movie as well and analyzed that movie and what's likely to occur and how that's sort of playing out right now regarding a number of different issues, certainly the legal ones. Even with all of that said, sort of getting back to my first point, it should be painfully obvious right now that government and government agencies want all of us dead. Just look at what they're doing again to the individuals who have been impacted by this hurricane. I'll get into that more a little bit later, again, with plenty of audio, but it's painfully obvious here. These three-letter agencies, FEMA even, and just government in general, are starving these people to death. They're not helping them. They're not allowing citizens to help one another. So, point being, our enemy is crystal clear here. We know who our enemy is. We are being killed and attacked by our own government. It doesn't matter how small that government is. You're talking about brainwashed local government, sheriff's departments, city councils, school boards. I've been over it on the show a million times. You're well aware. These people are out to lunch. Health departments, hospitals, you name it. All of these people have lost their minds. But the federal government and state government and state government officials are also criminal organizations. All of them. They are not for us in any stretch of the imagination. They're allowing, of course, the illegal invasion and a number of other things. So with all of that aside and all of that beyond evident proof at this point, what I want to do is I just wanted to summarize, because again, I watched his videos at length and I took notes and basically some bullet points as to what he was essentially saying. Based on the Law of War manual and based on a number of Q posts, there's going to be some serious action that takes place against government by good individuals in the military. This is widely been the belief for a very long time. Plenty of evidence and ample evidence that certainly seems to be the case, keeping in mind that if they were to actually really steal the election and there weren't to be any justice served or any real accountability, ladies and gentlemen, it's only a matter of time before American citizens pick up arms and start killing government. So if government doesn't do it against government, then we will do it against government. It's only a matter of time. Look at all of the people that they have just pissed off regarding this hurricane and the number of individuals who are awake to geoengineering and how mudslides and flooding have never occurred in these areas ever before. And then, of course, government not allowing fellow citizens to help their fellow citizens. Like I just said, and I know I'm repeating myself, but government is the enemy, and they're showing everyone that they are the enemy, and people are waking up to this fact. So, regarding his most recent videos, which again, I'll link in the description below if you're interested in sitting through them and watching them. I fully understand people won't, but here's essentially what he said, and I also put this out on Gab. He says that the 2024 election will be delayed until around the middle of 2025, with the military conducting the election at that time. That there will be 10 days of darkness, which is an actual Q post, which I will read here in just a minute, but that 10 days of darkness will occur on election day, and then it will end 10 days later, either on the 14th of November or the 15th of November. He also says that the 118th Congress, which is the Congress that is in office now, is void. They're basically an illegal conference, or an illegal Congress, rather. And they're illegal because of the quote-unquote Chinese occupation of our country at the hands of the fake Biden administration because of the 2020 fraudulent election and the fake and fraudulent 2022 election and midterm election that took place also. So he says that the 118th Congress cannot lawfully certify any election because, again, of Chinese occupation and the Biden administration. He says that the military will take over all three branches of government. That all three branches of government, of course, are completely corrupt. Certainly the appointment of Kenji Brown Jackson was illegal, because Biden is not the lawful president, which means, again, they're operating, again, as either a branch of the military or they're operating illegally in some form or fashion. He went on and said that there would be lockdowns again, potentially martial law, that 5G would be activated, that individuals who are jabbed will fall ill, and severely so. He also said that there would be no doubt that there will be judgment for the guilty, more specifically that even local courts under martial law will turn into military tribunals, that there will be military tribunals that take place at the local level within local and state courts, not just federal courts. And that this will, of course, will be run by the actual military themselves. So he says. This is where it gets even more date faggy, but I'm just repeating what he said. He says that on November 1st of this year, that Joe Biden will be arrested, and that on November 3rd, that will be the official end of the illegal occupation of our country. But that will be, of course, this year, which, of course, is going to spring about more chaos, you can assume. Laws being broken, chaos in the streets, you name it. So, let me do this first. Let me read a few of these Q posts, or certainly one specifically, but this is worth noting, that of all of the Q posts, all 4,000 plus Q posts that have existed this entire time, November 5th of 2017, which of course was the same year that these Q posts first started coming out, making their way around the internet, and then of course all around social media and a number of other places. And people, of course, were making videos about them on YouTube before YouTube shut it all down. But November 5th of 2017, that day specifically, has more Q posts on that day than any other day during the entire Q operation. There are 39 posts just on that day alone. And a lot of these posts are very specific. And there are massive, massive posts. In fact, if you look up post 79, which was on November 5th, again, of 2017, at approximately 12:16:50 a.m., there's a massive collection and collage of other posts, and it appears certainly to be past Q posts. So, or at the very least, again, posts that were on 4chan at the time. Either way, I want to read one of these posts, and it was post 88. Again, this specifically has to do with the 10 days of darkness, as it clearly states here at the very top. Again, this was on November 5th of 2017, post 88. It says the following here, quote, 10 days, period, darkness, period. Scare tactics, mainstream media. It says D's falling, R's walk away / removed. It says SA, US, Asia, and EU, implying, again, Saudi Arabia, United States, Asia, Europe. One to the next, to the next, to the next. It says, disinformation is real, distractions are necessary. Focus was US today, while real happening in Saudi Arabia or SA under same context, military control, martial law, missile strike, rogue, in parentheses, etc. It says necessary. It then says POTUS Twitter attack, see above. It says important. Why is this relevant? What was the last tweet by POTUS prior to SA? Again, I assume SA is Saudi Arabia. It says why is this relevant? It says SA 1, US 2, Asia 3, EU 4. Where is POTUS? Why is this relevant? Military operations. Operators in U.S. Snow White, The Great Awakening, Godfather 3, Q. What this is pointing to, which is what the individual brings up in the Magic Eyes Only videos, is he basically says, and he uses this word over and over again, and defines it, excuse me, which I'll define it here also because I have the definition right in front of me in the description. It's the word reprisals. And reprisals is a lawful action that are used regarding international law. And so I'm on this website here, IHL Databases. And it's International Humanitarian Law Databases under the, again, Rule 14.5. And it's titled Reprisals. So here's what it says about reprisals and what they are. It says Rule 145, period, reprisals. Where not prohibited, it says, by international law, belligerent reprisals are subject to stringent conditions. It says practice, volume 2, chapter 41, section B, summary. State practice establishes this rule as a norm of customary international law applicable in international armed conflicts. A belligerent reprisal consists of an action that would otherwise be unlawful, but that in exceptional cases is considered lawful under international law when used as an enforcement measure in reaction to unlawful acts of an adversary. In international humanitarian law, there is a trend to outlaw belligerent reprisals altogether. Those that may still be lawful are subject to the stringent conditions set forth below. It says international armed conflicts then, and defines what this is. It says the following, quote, as stated in several military manuals, reprisals have been a traditional method of enforcement of international humanitarian law, albeit subject to the stringent conditions mentioned below. During the past century, the categories of persons and objects that can be subjected to reprisal action have been reduced, and reprisal action against certain persons and objects is now prohibited under customary international law. It says, in the course of many armed conflicts that have marked the past two decades, belligerent reprisals have not been resorted to as a measure of enforcing international humanitarian law, the main exception being the Iran-Iraq War, where such measures were severely criticized by the UN Security Council and UN Secretary General. It says the trend toward outlying reprisals beyond those already prohibited by the Geneva Convention can be seen in a UN General Assembly resolution on basic principles for the protection of civilian populations in armed conflicts adopted in 1970. Which stated that civilian populations, this is all quoted, civilian populations or individual members thereof should not be the object of reprisals. It says the reticence of states to resort to reprisals can be explained by the fact that they are ineffective as a means of enforcement, in particular because reprisals risk leading to an escalation of violations. As stated by Kenya's LOAC manual, it says, quote, reprisals are an unsatisfactory way of enforcing the law. They tend to be used as an excuse for illegal methods of warfare and carry a danger of escalation through repeated reprisals and counter-reprisals, unquote. Several other military manuals as well as other practice similarly warn of the risk of escalation. Still others underline the limited military advantage gained by using reprisals. It says, during the negotiation of Additional Protocol 1, a number of states asserted that resort to reprisals ought to not be allowed at all. Other states that were a very questionable means of securing enforcement. Several states prohibit reprisals altogether. Others state that they may not be taken against combatants and military objectives. There is also national case law as well as official statements to the effect that reprisals must not be inhumane. This requirement was already set forth in the Oxford Manual and recently restated, albeit in different terms, in the draft articles on state responsibility. It says the reticence to approve of the resort to belligerent reprisals, together with the stringent conditions found in official practice, indicates that the international community is increasingly opposed to the use of violations of international humanitarian law as a method of trying to enforce the law. It is also relevant that there is much more support these days for the notion of ensuring respect for international humanitarian law through diplomatic channels than there was in the 19th and early 20th century, when the doctrine of belligerent reprisals as a method of enforcement was developed. In interpreting the condition that reprisal action may only be taken as a measure of last resort, when no other possibility is available, states must take into account the possibility of appealing to other states and international organizations to help put a stop to the violation. Okay, let me summarize that very briefly based on my understanding of reprisals. Reprisals mean that when laws have been broken and no other systems or governments are holding themselves accountable or one another accountable in any way, you use reprisals as if to say, it doesn't matter how far back you've broken the law, as long as you've broken it, we're coming after you. And it doesn't matter what country you live in either. That based on military reprisals and the use of reprisals, again, as a way to hold people accountable for the laws that they've broken, again, no matter how far back they go, that one country or multiple countries can go into other countries and seize those individuals, whether they be, again, full-blown governments, prime ministers, etc., etc., that they can grab these individuals, try them quickly, and then, of course, execute them. And again, in the Magic Eyes Only videos, he specifically brings up how the NSA has all of this information, how they have everything. And when you think of not only the NSA, but you think of Space Force, that's really what Space Force is all about, too. Space Force is a branch of our military. It is about surveillance. It is about surveilling the space between two areas. It has nothing to do with, going to Mars and talking to space aliens. All of that's bullshit. If anybody thinks that that's what Space Force was all about, it clearly is not the case. So again, the point here is that if reprisals are used, and they're used legally, as it stated earlier, it's used as a last resort. It's used as a way to say, nothing can be trusted, governments cannot be trusted. Now we have to use our military to go after these individuals, and that's the way that it's going to be. There are, of course, conditions to these reprisals, apparently, and I just want to read through some of these here because, as it turns out, there are many. So bear with me here. Here are the conditions. It says, quote, five conditions must be met in order for belligerent reprisals against permitted categories of persons and objects not to be unlawful. It says most of these conditions are laid down in military manuals and are supported by official statements. These conditions are, and it says I, purpose of reprisals. Reprisals may only be taken in reaction to a prior serious violation of international humanitarian law, and only for the purpose of inducing the adversary to comply with the law. This condition is set forth in numerous military manuals, as well as in the legislation of some states. It is also confirmed in national case law. Think about Israel, by the way. Just think about the Zionists and the Jews over there and what they're doing to innocent people. And take that into consideration. And then, of course, the Q post where it says, we're saving Israel for last. Take all of this into consideration and what is known about what they're doing to innocent people over there. It says, because reprisals are a reaction to a prior serious violation of international humanitarian law, this is in quotes, anticipatory reprisals or counter reprisals, quote unquote, are not permissible, nor can belligerent reprisals, it says, be a reaction to a violation of another type of law. In addition, as reprisals are aimed at inducing the adversary to comply with the law, they may not be carried out for the purpose of revenge or punishment. It says there is limited practice allowing reprisals against allies of the violating state, but it dates back to the arbitration in the Cysne case, I think, C-Y-S-N-E, Cysne case, in 1930. And to the Second World War. Practice since then, appears to indicate that resort to such reprisals is no longer valid. According to the draft articles on state responsibility, countermeasures are legitimate only, quote, against a state which is responsible for an internationally wrongful act, unquote. This element of responsibility is also reflected in some military manuals. However, whereas most military manuals remain silent on the question of reprisals against allies of the violating state, Italy's IHL manual expressly states that a reprisal can, quote, as a general rule, only be directed against the belligerent that violated the laws of war, unquote. Other military manuals explain that reprisals are used against another state in order to, and this is italicized, to induce that state to stop the violation of international law. It goes on, it says, some military manuals specifically that in the light of their specific purpose, reprisals must be announced as such and publicized so that the adversary is aware of its obligation to comply with the law. Now it says section II here, or double I. It says measure of last resort. Reprisals may only be carried out as a measure of last resort when no other lawful measures are available to induce the adversary to respect the law. This condition is set forth in many military manuals. It is confirmed by national case law. It is also represented in the statements and protocols made by states at the diplomatic conference, leading to the adoption of the additional protocols before the International Court of Justice in the nuclear weapons case and on other occasions, when it was sometimes mentioned that prior warning must be given and or other measures must have fallen before resorting to reprisals. It says, in its reservation concerning reprisals made upon ratification of additional Protocol 1, the United Kingdom reserved the right to take reprisal action, quote, only after formal warning to the adverse party requiring cessation of the violation has been disregarded, unquote. It says, according to the draft articles on state responsibility, before taking countermeasures, an injured state must call on the responsible state to fulfill its obligations, notify the responsible state of any decision to take countermeasures, and offer to negotiate with that state. In its judgment, in the something case, no way I get that word or name, in 2000, it says, the International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia confirmed what had already been stated in the Special Arbitral Tribunal in the Nalulia case in 1928, namely that reprisals may only be carried out after a warning to the adverse party requiring cessation of the violation has remained unheeded. And it says Section 3, Proportionality. It says reprisal action must be proportionate to the violation it aims to stop. This condition was already laid down in 1880 in the Oxford Manual and was recently reaffirmed in the draft articles on state responsibility. It is also contained in many military manuals. Furthermore, there is case law concerning violations committed in the Second World War in which the accused claims that their acts had been committed as lawful reprisals were rejected because, inter alia, they were found to be disproportionate to the original violation. It says the requirement that reprisal measures be proportionate to the original wrong is repeated in various statements and proposals made by states at a diplomatic conference, leading to the adoption of the additional protocols before the International Court of Justice in the nuclear weapons case and on other occasions. In its reservation concerning reprisals made upon ratification of additional Protocol 1, the United Kingdom stated that, quote, any measure thus taken by the United Kingdom will not be disproportionate to the violations giving rise thereto. I'm almost done here, I promise. It says the International Court of Justice, in its adversary opinion in the nuclear weapons case in 1996, and the International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia, in its judgment in the Kerputskic case, I guess, in 2000, confirmed that the Special Arbitral Tribunal had already stated in that case, in a previous case, the Nalulia case, I'm saying that right, in 1928, namely that belligerent reprisals are subject to the principle of proportionality. It says most of the practice collected requires the acts taken in reprisals be proportionate to the original violation. Only a few pieces of practice specify that proportionality must be observed with regard to the damage suffered. There's only two more sections here. There's section 4 and then section 5. Section 4 says, this is the condition again, decision at the highest level of government. It says the decision to resort to reprisals must be taken at the highest level of government, whereas the Oxford Manual states that only a commander-in-chief, is entitled, only a commander-in-chief is entitled to authorize reprisals. More recent practice indicates that such a decision must be taken at the highest political level. State practice confirming this condition is found in military manuals, as well as in some national legislation and official statements. In its reservation concerning reprisals made upon ratification of Additional Protocol 1, the United Kingdom stated that reprisals would be taken, quote, only after a decision taken at the highest level of government, unquote. It then says, in its judgment, in the Krpitsk case in 2000, the International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia held that the decision to resort to a reprisal must be taken at the highest political or military level and may not be decided by local commanders. And then finally, Section 5. And this is where this whole thing wraps up. Termination. It says, reprisal action must cease as soon as the adversary complies with the law. This condition formulated as a formal prohibition in the event that the original wrong had been repaired was already laid down in 1880 in the Oxford Manual and was recently restated in the draft articles on state responsibility. It is also contained in several military manuals, official statements, and reported practice. It then says, in its reservation concerning reprisals made upon ratification of Additional Protocol 1, the United Kingdom stated that reprisals would not be continued, quote, after the violations have ceased. And then it finishes with this last sentence, and it says, in its judgment in the, again, Krpitsk case, if I'm saying that right, probably not, in 2000, the International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia confirmed that reprisal action must stop as soon as the unlawful act has been discontinued, unquote. And everything is referenced in this giant Rule 145 about reprisals and what reprisals mean. Essentially, again, in summary, reprisals are a last resort when everything is so bad. Government agencies, international governments, you name it, and the crimes that they have all committed are so bad, and everything is so corrupt that the right thing isn't happening. Only the commander-in-chief has the ability to impose reprisals, thereby basically, again, detaining these individuals, knowing what they've done, and then doing whatever it is that they want to do to them. But based on this, at least my interpretation of it, is it basically says whatever is done to the bad guys cannot be worse than what they have done to other people. So again, we're talking about military tribunals here. We're talking about swift executions of guilty parties. Again, think about the WEF, the World Economic Forum. Think of the WHO. Think of all of these people, all of the things that they've said, the Bill Gateses of the world, the genocide that these individuals are all associated with. These people have got to go. They have to go. It's beyond evident that we are at the end of our rope here, and it's beyond evident that the corruption is just too thick. This is not something that is going to get fixed at the local level. This is something that has to happen on a grand scale, whether it's happening in front of people or not. But again, if there's some kind of a lockdown, it would most certainly be some kind of a, again, martial law status where reprisals would be taking place across the world in endless countries, including our own, and these people would be rounded up. This seems to be the only option. This is the last option. If it isn't this, then again, it's American citizens taking up arms. Because again, take North Carolina, for example, or any of the individuals who are stranded up and down those states as a result of the hurricane. If you are in a situation like that, and you're starving, and or you need water and you're dying of thirst or whatever it is, or even you're in a position as a citizen where you're attempting to help your fellow citizens and government quite literally stands in your way, what are you going to do about that? They're keeping you from saving lives. Government is keeping you, excuse me, from helping your fellow Americans. You have no choice in that situation but to kill government. You have to get rid of them. They're in your way. They're stopping you from saving people. They're not doing their job, which means they're not relevant anymore, so you remove them. I'm shocked that people aren't already doing this. I mean, if FEMA is showing up and saying, you can't do this, you can't do that, I'm shocked people are not taking them out. I truly am. But reprisals have got to be, again, the way forward here, or else the way forward is going to be the American people. Because we can't stand in another stolen election. There have been too many of them. You heard it, of course, if you watch the, you know, the J.D. Vance, Tim Walz, whatever that was, shit show. I mean, if you watch that entire debate as I did, you heard the moderators, they're openly admitting and openly stating there was no voter fraud in 2020. They're posing the question to people as if there was zero voter fraud, as if Joe Biden won the election, when clearly he did not, and we all know that he didn't. Again, J.D. Vance was rather tight-lipped about the whole thing. He could have said, if there was no voter fraud, then why are people in jail for voter fraud? There was clearly voter fraud in numerous states, and these people are in jail. He could have done that. He could have said that, but he's keeping it quiet. It could be he's keeping it quiet to not let the cat out of the bag. Because again, the media was involved in the voter fraud. All of them were involved. Fox News was involved. Brett Baer and Martha McCallum were involved in voter fraud. They were told to not ask questions. And they were, of course, threatened with a loss of their job if they did. But they cared more about their money and more about their status on the so-called TV instead of asking the real questions that they should have asked, which is, this seems out of the ordinary. This seems like an election is being stolen. What is actually taking place? And then, of course, when Mike Lindell went around the country talking about voter fraud, and proving this to be the case, did the mainstream media cover that? No, they didn't. They either didn't mention it or they made fun of him for it. They pulled his ads and his commercials from their channel. They were involved. Reprisals have to be used against them also. Someone has to get to them and say, we have proof you've broken the law. You're now under our control. You've broken the law. If you break it again, you're finished. So again, it doesn't necessarily have to be an admission of guilt. It's just a way of, again, verbally stating to them that they've broken the law. We know you've broken the law. The game is over. The jig is up. Again, they're, you know, getting back to the election for this year, there have been numerous theories bouncing around for a very long time that the election would be delayed. You know, what's going to happen on election day? What's going to happen the day after the election? What's going to happen before the election? All of that stuff. But then there's that other multidimensional piece, which is there won't be one. It's highly possible, because that would wake people up. Shutting everything down for 10 days, can't go to work, can't buy anything, can't go to a store, everybody's locked down, EBS system goes off, something like that takes place, and it tells everybody to stay in place because we're under martial law because of this, that, or the other. You bet your ass that's going to wake up a bunch of people. It's going to have to. People have to see this, as you've heard me say a million times. They have to see something and feel something they've never heard or seen or felt before. It's the only way to snap a number of people out of this. And then, of course, the truth has to be told about the human sacrifice, the child trafficking, the blood libel, the human body parts being sold, The mass genocides, of course, that have been taking place for X amount of time, the drug dealing, the three-letter agency involvement, the cartels, all of it. All of this has to be told to the American people, and it has to be told to the people of the world. You've heard me say it too, how ironic it is that, again, these global agencies and these global government agencies like the WHO and the WEF, that they build these documents and they construct these documents openly talking about killing us and openly talking about going through with Agenda 2030 and how we need to get everybody injected with everything from here to Timbuktu. Again, I just heard a radio commercial on the Glenn Beck program, same thing. They just ran another commercial on his show telling everybody to get your COVID shots and your flu shots. That has to stop because it's killing people. This messaging, everything that's taking place that is false, is getting people killed. In conclusion, regarding this, it's not an accident that Donald Trump reposts Q-related drops. That's not an accident that he's retruthing what people are saying about Q-related things and that he does it on a constant basis. Even CNN's Anderson Cooper has brought this up on his show and, of course, called it a conspiracy theory, and he's out to lunch and he's a nutbag. If the man is behind all of this, as certainly the poster child, so to speak, or the figurehead of what's about to go down, then yes, he's arguably one of the greatest presidents, if not the greatest president ever. Because there are so many people who are brainwashed to what is happening in the world right now that they have no clue what's going on. They're literally killing themselves, not knowing that they're killing themselves. The list, again, not to get too much into the jabs here, but the number of people who are injured from those who continue to have YouTube channels and talk about it without mentioning the shots themselves as being the cause, these people have lost their minds. They're going to the same doctors that injected people to begin with, and they're saying, well, I've got the greatest doctors, I've got the best doctors for this condition, that condition, whatever else. Let me give you a couple of examples, one in particular. Tom Segura's wife has breast cancer. She's had multiple surgeries on her breasts. She thinks this is a fucking joke. Tom Segura thinks this is a joke. They joke about it on their show. Your Mom's House is their podcast. They have no idea that it's shot related. He's been a guest on Joe Rogan's show, for God's sakes. They both have. They know Joe Rogan. They're friends with him. Do they not know this is shot-related? And they're jabbed. Because they're international travelers. They travel internationally all the time. And they did during the COVID lie. They wore the mask. They took the shots. They took the COVID tests. All fake. She has breast cancer and none of them know. And they're not even talking about it. I mean, think of that. Think of the weight. That has to exist on a human brain in order to have such a lack of a conscience that even if you knew that it was shot related, you still won't bring it up as being shot related on your show. Because why? Because you're afraid of losing your show. You're afraid of losing a little bit of money. And the irony too is that those two individuals, Tom Segura and his wife Christina, are comedians. They just laugh off everything. Do they not know who Jim Breuer is? Jim Breuer is a comedian at a very viral stand-up about the COVID shots and how they're killing people and how stupid people are for taking COVID shots. Did they not see his stand-up? Did they not hear about it? Did they quietly get in a room with one another and say, okay, look, the COVID shots are hurting people, whatever, they won't hurt us, let's just not talk about it, let's just avoid it. You have cancer. It's amazing to me. Again, this is the level of brainwashing that exists here. This is all of it. But these people have to be held accountable. These global three-letter agencies, the European Union, has got to be dissolved completely. Every single European country has to go back to being an independent European country. And if reprisals are the way to accomplish it, then so be it. Round up these bastards, hang them, throw them out of the back of a C-130. I don't care. Just get rid of them. And then tell us all about it, or show us. That would be even better. But this has to happen. This has to go down. People always talk about the precipice, and precipice this and precipice that and precipice. That would be the precipice right there. That would be the storm. And then, of course, a very famous Q post that says, look to Twitter, where Donald Trump would say, again, the storm is upon us. If that were to happen, all the people out there who called us all Q-tards and made fun of us would be eating crow. These people don't know what's going on. These laws that have been broken globally and nationally, and most recently regarding this effing hurricane, being cloud-seeded for the purpose of destroying land, for the purpose of a land grab, and murdering the people who live on that land. These crimes cannot get more obvious. It is government against us. This is World War III. We've been in it for some time. World War III is government against the people. It's not some nuclear war between one country or another. That's not it. It's government against the people. Now let me get into some hurricane stuff here, and again, this will continue to prove that it's government against us and us against government. That's really World War III. Let me play this particular video. It's about 5.5 minutes long. This is an individual based out of Florida who's made his way up to the North Carolina area. This particular video is making the rounds. Just give him a listen here in 3, 2, 1.
A matter of life and death for the people of North Carolina. So my name is Jonathan Howard. I'm a member of the Florida State Guard Special Missions Unit. And I'm also up here with Aerial Recovery, a nonprofit. I came up here on Sunday with Aerial Recovery before we even got activated. We flew up here and then we got activated, which was great. I have my team up here working as well. Here's the problem. I'm going to tell you everything that's happening from the ground, what I'm actually seeing, because what they're telling you is complete bullshit on the news, and these politicians don't have a fucking clue and they're lying. And I'll say this now, I'll say it at the end of the video. The only thing I need from this video is helicopters. If I have helicopters, I can save lives. Without helicopters, I can't reach these people. It doesn't matter how many chainsaws and trucks I got, I can't get to them. They're 10 miles in, 20 miles, 40 miles in the mountains. There's no way to get with them or even communicate with them. I am literally flying around in a civilian helicopter looking for SOS messages carved in the mud or painted on the ground, and we're dropping down and saving them. What got me fired up about this was yesterday, me and my team did the rescue of that 11-day-year-old baby. And all these government officials and social media, they're showing that video, that pictures and video of that rescue, and claiming that like they have some like government helped with that. And I mean, even USA, I think it was USA Today, wrote an article about it saying it was a Florida National Guard that went and got it, like with a helicopter. No, it was me, my buddy Charlie, and a civilian named Zeb with his own personal helicopter out of Wilmington, North Carolina. Like, without that civilian, that baby would be dead. And the old lady we went and rescued after that, she'd be dead too, because she had one day left of oxygen. No one was going to go get them. I will tell you, when we go up in the air, I probably see 40 civilian helicopters, and I might see 2 Blackhawks, National Guard, military, whatever they are. That's it. No one's out there doing rescues. I have my entire team up here from Florida right now, and they have no ability to go rescue these people other than what they can drive to. And the people that are in dire need, they're out in the mountains. They are completely cut off. Now, I will say, I spoke to my congresswoman down in Florida, and she's a badass, and she made a bunch of phone calls, and now we got 2 contracted 60s coming up here tomorrow, which is great. I love that, but like, I still don't understand why we don't have more helicopters. Like, we'll get a lot of work done with that, but there's no military. There's no one's doing nothing. It blows my mind. And they're not even allowing people to see what's really going on. One of our friends yesterday, they were actually escorting CNN down a late lure, and they wouldn't even let CNN, the sheriff department would not let them go videotape the bad areas, how destructive it is. I don't know why they don't want to show you all that, but I mean, it is bad. I should also say, when I flew here on Sunday, they actually stopped us from going in, the sheriff department. And it was because of a bunch of politics that they were claiming was a speaker of the House of North Carolina that was preventing us from even going in and trying to kick us out, which I have clarified today with North Carolina politicians that reached out to me, good on them. And they were like, that's complete bullshit. Speaker of the House has nothing. He wants you guys there. But this is the kind of political BS that is happening here right now. Like, everyone's trying to be in charge without taking any type of action. Nobody wants to coordinate with anybody. Everybody wants to pretend like they're being the hero while these people are literally fucking dying in the mountains. And these people, like I'm saying, these people are limited medication. They're running out of oxygen, and there's no one going to get them. The most effective way I have found to go find these people is by getting in a helicopter and flying down the rivers and roads and looking for SOS messages or people waving us down. And then we drop down and get them. We have all these people here. We have law enforcement. We have State Guard, National Guard. They have no way to go get these people. Yesterday, when I was at the Asheville Airport refueling, which, by the way, the civilian is paying all this out of his own pocket. He's not even looking for a reimbursement. I think we did 4 refuelings yesterday. And that was like just in half a day's work. We're in Asheville, and I saw 2 Air Force helicopter 60s. And I knew there were PJs just looking at them. And I went up to them like, hey, guys, like, what are y'all doing? And like, this is what you need to be doing. This is how I'm finding people. And they're like, we can't go. We're waiting on Title 10 orders. And I'm like, what? They can't get any authority. There's military helicopters all over here sitting on the ground, and they can't do nothing. Even my JSOC boys in Fayetteville, they can't get orders to come out here. It is just the most disgusting thing. And they're killing these people. And I don't know why they're doing it. I don't know what kind of conspiracy. I've heard so many things, whatever you want to come up with. But they are literally allowing these people to fucking die in the mountains right now because we can't get helicopters. They got money for everything else in the fucking world right now. But if they could just get us helicopters, we could fly out there and rescue these people. So I hope this video goes viral. I hope these politicians get fired. I hope people get pissed off. They'll probably kick me out of the state of North Carolina for doing this. But you know what? I don't care, because if I can save one more life for it, it's fucking worth it to me.
Let me add to that briefly. There are numerous posts out there describing all of this, and I'm just going to summarize it. That FEMA is stealing resources. That if you're donating money, that they're stealing that money. That they're not getting anything to people who really need it. It's not that they haven't set up a thing in a particular area. I'm sure they have. I mean, by default. Kamala Harris, of course, has openly stated that all families impacted will get $750, and that FEMA is apparently out of money. Mayorkas has openly stated that they don't have the funds, and they don't have any more funds for any more hurricanes for the remainder of the year. That's because FEMA has been involved in bringing illegal aliens here to invade us, to kill us. Reprisals, ladies and gentlemen. These agencies and the people who work within have got to go. This has to happen. Numerous civilian agencies, just like him, of course, are not agencies, but groups and disaster relief groups have been turned away. They've been turned away before in previous storms. I read a long post of a guy on X, same thing. He was based out of Florida. A hurricane hit Florida. Harvey hit Texas. I think it was Hurricane Irma. And he was describing again how he was trying to boat his way into particular ports and particular areas and certain bays up and down the Florida coast. And government was stopping him. That these government agencies, FEMA, you name it, that they were all stopping him and saying, you can't drop your products off here. And he'd say, well, why? And he'd say, well, the products that you're bringing here, these brands, are not on our brand list. They're not on a list of companies that we work with and that we provide to the people, which means it's all about money. Everything is about stealing money and making certain companies profit, again, at the expense of human life. Reprisals. It's the only way to fix this problem. authorities also have threatened to arrest numerous individuals. I played a caption of this on the war video, and I've even put it on my Gab account. Again, it was an individual and his son who own a private helicopter. It's their own helicopter. And they live, of course, in the, where did they live? South Carolina, I believe. And then they were traveling into North Carolina to rescue people. They were told by authorities once they landed to rescue people that they are not allowed to come back. That if they come in and they even attempt to save someone's life, that they will be arrested. This is happening all over the place. It wasn't just him. It's numerous individuals. People in Burnsville, North Carolina, same thing. Authorities are flat out telling individuals, if you go in and you attempt to rescue people, you will be arrested. You'd better believe it's the government versus us and us versus government. You'd better believe this. These people blindly following orders for government that are causing the deaths of their fellow citizens are the enemy. There's also this, and again, you can take Anne Van Der Steel with a grain of salt sometimes. Again, I kind of think she's a grifter, but either way, she has sources, of course, and she has individuals who communicate things to her. So allow me to read this particular ex post that she made. It says the following here. Again, this should also prove to people America is not prepared. It says Mission Hospital nurse report, Asheville, North Carolina, Hurricane Helene dispatch. She said, quote, I spoke with a registered nurse who wishes to remain anonymous. She works at Mission Hospital in Asheville, North Carolina. She's been working every night at hospital since last Tuesday, and tonight is her first night off. She will return to Mission tomorrow to work another 6 nights. When she was called in, she was told that she would receive crisis pay for the first 3 nights. Now she is receiving overtime. When she arrived for her 5 p.m. shift, she was told to clock in and not to clock out until given the okay to leave. She stayed until today and was paid to sleep at Mission Hospital with only mats on the ground in classrooms. It says hazards of 6-day chaos. It says stealing food. People are coming in off the streets into Mission Hospital and are stealing food that is supposed to be for staff. It then says mental patients running loose. Due to the loss of electricity, doors at a neighboring behavioral health hospital would not work. The Mission security guards were pulled from guarding their own hospital and sent to work at the behavioral health hospital as psychiatric patients were escaping and running loose. They have been guarding all doors since Sunday night to prevent any psych patients from getting out. Due to the security risk of unknown people just showing up for food and shelter, the behavioral health hospital is only allowing one visitor per patient because, according to a security guard who spoke to my nurse source, hearsay, people are showing up with guns to get food. Upon leaving her long shift yesterday morning, my source saw that there was a line outdoor of people waiting to get in. She witnessed a patient in a wheelchair slumped over and left in the middle of the road. The nurse also witnessed a man on stretcher with a neck brace and watched the medical team pick him up, transfer the patient to a wheelchair, and just left him there with no further care. It says currently there are no beds for people in Mission Hospital ER. They are keeping patients in the hallway. They can't discharge anyone, as once the patient is on the floor, you can't get them out. This is a result of no gas in cars, no one to transport the patients, and home meds are not available to them at this time. The hospital is only providing critical meds to them and only for 5 days at a time. It says fake news covering up the truth. The local news is underreporting the fatality count, stating only 160 bodies have been recovered to date. I reported that a sheriff personally pulled and bagged over 1,200 bodies out of the rivers, or out of a rivers, it says, from the side of roads. They are still missing 1,000 in Swannanoa, if I'm saying that right, my apologies, alone. It says, compounding strike problem. 90% of the nurses have voted to strike against the hospital. Since the hurricane, they have not come up with day to start the strike. My source's spouse said he did witness that the American Red Cross is helping for what it is worth. Bullshit. They're stealing. The American Red Cross steals all of the time. Don't ever give a dime to the American Red Cross, I'm telling you. Then they wrapped it up and said, it is the people providing most of the on-the-ground support, logistics, supplies, and rescues still developing, unquote. Again, America is not prepared for this. Local hospitals are not prepared for this. If they put lockdowns back in place, carry out martial law, engage in reprisals in order to go after, again, enemies foreign and domestic, people aren't going to be able to move around. They're going to have to stay right where they are. I mean, that's going to cost people too. But I'm telling you, people have to see something here. And again, the media, of course, isn't touching this with a 10-foot pole because they're the enemy of the people. They're not going to tell anybody what's really happening. Citizen journalism is the only way forward here for our country in the future. Same thing around the world. But I'm going to end it there, ladies and gentlemen. Again, something has to give. I think the Law of War manual is certainly in play. There are endless individuals, again, that I've even brought up on the show who would certainly indicate that this is the case. They've posted about it many times in the past. I think reprisals is logical. I think that that is an option that has to be used. And I understand that people would say, well, which part of the military, Sean? The gay tranny part? Are those the individuals in the military that are going to do the right thing? I'm telling you, I don't even know that you would need a bunch of individuals to do the right thing. You would just have to have a set group that are away from the ones that we're typically seeing. I mean, there's no saying. You've heard me mention this in the past with the entire COVID lie and the number of individuals that left the military as a result of the COVID lie. There would have to be a catch basin for those individuals. Because clearly those would be the most morally sound individuals who knew that this was a deliberate attack on humanity. Again, via injection. So you would, of course, have to maintain communications with those individuals, and good guys would have to maintain communication with those people. Because those are the people, clearly, that you would want fighting on your side and fighting on the side of good. I would find it hard to believe that good people in the military would just let those individuals go without giving them an option to, again, serve their country the way that they really want to, which, of course, is to go up against the very government that tried to kill them in the first place. I think these people exist. I'm optimistic that that's the case anyway. But again, we have to see something happen here. Something has to shake out here in the next month in order for people to wake up en masse, and stopping an election dead in its tracks is a way to do that. We know that the media would say, well, Donald Trump's stopping the election because he's afraid he's going to lose, and Kamala Harris was about to win, and he's a dictator, and blah, blah, blah. And of course, we know that that's the exact narrative that the left has run with for a very long time. That they say, well, Donald Trump's just going to steal the election and he'll just take it, and we need to do whatever we can to not certify the election, and we have things that we need to do to keep him from getting back in the White House and everything else. It's total desperation on their part. I don't think that that's accidental either. I think they know what's coming. But they're in Zugzwang also. So, regardless of what they do, they're being put in an even worse position with every move that they make. That still means, of course, that we have to keep our heads on a swivel. We have to stay alive. We have to be vigilant, and we have to keep doing the things that we're doing, and we need to prepare. People need to prepare for the power to go out again, for things to be shut down, for individuals to not be able to move around. Again, if we're put in some kind of a lockdown, or we're told that a lockdown is taking place on an EBS system on everybody's cell phone, which, by the way, that's something that's sort of fallen by the wayside too, that people aren't talking about much anymore, is the whole EBS system on everybody's cell phones. If that goes off and it says stay put right where you are, man, I'm getting in my car and I'm driving around. I'm going to drive around and see what's going on. And I'm going to see if, again, there are cops patrolling or what the hell's going on. But something's got to give here. And again, it just has to be something that we all see. that'll shake people out of their slumber, no doubt about it. That'll force them to start asking questions. So again, I'm going to end it there. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening as always, and I'll catch you on Monday. Peace.
Thank you for listening to American Education FM. Make sure and check out AmericanEducationFM.com for more information. Take care and God bless.